Today on Real Radio.
The Holy Spirit spoke, saying, "Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." And then, having fasted and prayed, they laid hands on them and sent them away. Who was speaking, church? Who was speaking? The Holy Spirit spoke.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his topical series called You Need to Know. It's a collection of lessons about the fundamentals of our faith. Now, one of those essentials is the person of the Holy Spirit and his function, including his work in the life of every true believer. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now with more in his mini-series called You Need to Know All About God, the Holy Spirit.
He can't leave you. And so he's there with your attitude. He's there with whatever you're viewing. He's there with whatever you're saying. And when that reality grips your heart, you want to just say with Job, "I've made a covenant with my eyes." And walk with him in holiness. God does that. You and I are just to be willing. You and I cannot make ourselves holy. That's impossible. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 19, and I'm reading out of the New Living Translation because of its clarity in this verse. "When you," I think of me, you think of you, "when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions and divisions, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these." Paul said, "Let me tell you again." This is, by the way, I just defined the old Jack, and he just defined the old you. If you did him or not, you thought about him. "As I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God." Verse 22, "But the fruit of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit," I wrote in my notes, "the new Jack, is all about love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there's no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. And if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." That is liberty and freedom. The Bible says in Isaiah 63:10, we need to be careful. Isaiah 63:10 says, regarding the children of Israel, that they rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit. So he turned himself against them as an enemy, and he fought against them. A lot of Christians today, they're saved, they're going to heaven. But they've sinned, and they're living in sin, and the Holy Spirit has become their enemy. Their life's not blessed. Seems as though they keep running up against the block wall. Nothing seems to go right. The heavens seem to be as brass and silent. And they're living a life. They've been redeemed, sealed by the Holy Spirit, but the Spirit's grieved. And the Bible says, watch out that he doesn't become your enemy. In Matthew chapter 12, there's a tremendous event, church. In Matthew chapter 12, I'm going to have you look at verse 28 in a moment. Jesus' response to the doctrine of the Pharisees. You need to hang on to your seats here for a moment. The doctrine of the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 12, they were cursing, resisting, and fighting against Jesus, and they wanted him dead. They were seeking to kill Jesus Christ over and over again. And he had performed miracle after miracle after deliverance, healing after healing. And in Matthew chapter 12, 28, they have had enough. And so their mouth is running off against the Son of God. And Jesus says to them in verse 28, "But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you." He's just simply answering their observation. Jesus was casting out demons from people. And he says to them, if I'm casting out demons, then regardless of your opinion of me, the kingdom of God is in your presence, everybody. That's what he's saying to them. Amen. Listen, spectator this morning, somebody watching or listening here right now, Have you seen God ever work in someone's life and yet you're not a believer? Or have you seen God work in someone's life or you think God has worked in somebody's life but you're resisting him and mocking him? Are you mocking the work of God? Jesus says, the kingdom of God has come near you, if you've observed such a thing. Matthew 12:31, Jesus says, therefore, I say to you, he's speaking to the Pharisees. I say to you, maybe he pointed at them, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men, but the blasphemy against the Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit, will not be forgiven men. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, that's himself, Jesus, it will be forgiven him. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him either in this world or in the world to come. This is the unpardonable sin. Blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is the unpardonable sin. Listen, my friends, I appreciate your zeal, but as sad and as terrible as suicide is, it's not the unpardonable sin according to the Bible. Well, I heard a man use the Lord's name in vain. That's not the unpardonable sin according to the Bible. The unpardonable sin is to adopt the doctrine of the Pharisees that attributed the work of God to Satan. It's an offense to the Holy Spirit. It's to attribute the work of the Holy Spirit to satanic influence or power. The Bible says Jesus died for all sin. But Jesus says, nope, yeah, yes, I did, but there's one sin that cannot be forgiven. And what's the job of the Holy Spirit? We saw last week, to bring you to Christ. And you process that for a moment right now. All those in hell this morning are there because they rejected the work of the Holy Spirit who pointed to Jesus Christ as Savior. Acts 7, verse 51. Stephen said, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, as he spoke to the nation of Israel and its leaders. You always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you. Were your parents unbelievers, and that's why you're not a believer? That's not a good answer. And that's certainly no excuse. If you're resisting the Holy Spirit, the Bible says you are stiff-necked. That's serious. You're uncircumcised of your heart. Wow. Your heart is full of, in the faith, spiritual sense, covered with fat, dull, lifeless, dead fat. And the Bible says that needs to be cut away so you can feel again. In John 1, verse 12, Jesus said, but as many as received him, to them gave he the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name. Do you believe in his name? Do you trust his authority? John 3:3, this is what happens when that takes place. Jesus answered and said to Nicodemus, most assuredly, I say to you, and Jesus says it to some of you this morning, unless one is born again, you cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Do you see that? Listen, I've talked to people, it's almost on a monthly basis. People will say, I've been coming to church here. I've been a member of XYZ church all my life, but I've been coming here. I actually go here and I get Bible, and then I go to my church that I was born and raised into, and I've never heard once in my other church that you had to be born again to see the kingdom of heaven. Can you believe that? Jesus himself told the most religious man in all of Israel, unless you're born again, you'll not see the kingdom of heaven. And if you resist the Holy Spirit's invitation to be born again, you are committing blasphemy of the Holy Spirit if you die in that condition. Thank God the thief on the cross did not die in that condition. Number 7, what about God the Holy Spirit? God the Holy Spirit speaks to us. He speaks to us. Jesus Christ himself said that it would be the Holy Spirit that would come and speak to us and to the church. That's us. The Word of God. Our daily desire. We want to be guided by the Holy Spirit. John 16:13. Jesus said, and he will guide you, he will speak to you, and he will tell you things to come. The Holy Spirit. We need him today, church, like never before. I don't want to ruffle any feathers. We want you to go as many Bible studies as God leads you to go to, but I'm a firm believer in this. Maybe I'm old school. I am old school. What am I talking about? I am. But call me crazy, but I come from a long line of old school people, I guess. I believe, as it were, ascending the mountain and sitting alone with him. I'm all for getting in your closet, Jesus said, and shutting the door. I trust the Holy Spirit to use this, the sword of the Spirit, to teach me, to teach you. I expect you. Look, I'm a human. And all the gifts of God given by the Holy Spirit, did you know they were given by an infallible God? They are infallible gifts given to fallible people. That's why, listen, if I say something off, you guys are awesome, by the way, if I quote a verse even correctly but give the wrong reference, you're in John 13:3, and you'll come to me, it was Matthew 13:3. Thank you, keep doing that. I am fallible. But listen, God's not fallible. He's infallible. He never makes a mistake. I make mistakes. You and I make mistakes. But listen to this. It is awesome. Listen, if you and I, imagine if you and I never had one more Bible study, all technology was broken. Oh, God, please send it now. Hey, that's what Jesus, man, taught 2,000 years ago, before internet, before all that stuff. He knew. It's going to be a tough day when technology hits the world. That's tough. Imagine all the stuff going away, and all you have is all you need, and that is the Holy Spirit in you and a Bible. You would read it, he would speak to you, and believe me, he would lead all of us. If we were dispersed throughout all the world, he would lead us all unified in his truth until we grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus. I love that. It's the Holy Spirit's job. He speaks to us. Listen carefully. He speaks to us using solely the Bible. He uses the Word of God. Now, you might say, well, I heard a message from a pastor. This morning I was putting on my shoes, and Charles Stanley, Lisa had him on, and I heard a great word from Charles Stanley. But the reason why it was a great word is because Charles Stanley was using the Bible, and it was biblical what he said. Or maybe you heard a radio program, or maybe you read a track, or whatever it was. If it was biblical in its context, as it's revealed in the Word of God, God was speaking to you. And he leads us. Acts 13, verse 2 says, and as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit spoke, saying, wow. Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. And then, having fasted and prayed, they laid hands on them and sent them away. Who was speaking, church? Who was speaking? The Holy Spirit spoke. Is the Holy Spirit speaking to you? If he does, he'll use the Bible. He'll speak the Word of God to you. Ezekiel 11, verse 5 says, then the Spirit of the Lord fell upon me, and he said to me, says Ezekiel. Does this get you excited? Are you excited about this? I love this. All of a sudden now, for those of you who have been taught to stay away from the Holy Spirit, you ain't going to make it without him. He'll speak. And every time, look, every time you open this Bible, you need to, look, I just happened to have turned to this page. I don't know if you can see that up front. See the little marks and colors? What does that mean? Those are events in my life, and I even date some of them, when God, the Holy Spirit's speaking to me about things, and I mark it down at that moment. You know, I might read chapters and nothing happens, at least not this pass through the Bible, but all of a sudden, boom, this is what happens, and wham, I mark that down. Why, God's speaking to me. How's he doing that? With his Bible. Well, I feel, put a lid on it, and that. I don't know. A friend told me, forget it. Bible. He speaks. Yeah, you're right. You are old school. That's right. And I love it. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 19, Jesus says, but when they deliver you up, think of all of your brothers and sisters who you're going to meet, who have given their lives, now it's in the tens of thousands in Iraq and in Syria in the last several months. You're going to meet them. They were crucified, burned to death, or drugged behind Toyota pickups, crucified, or beheaded. You're going to meet them. Or, when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak. For it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak, for it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. Those Christians could not, would not deny Jesus Christ, even as they watched their two-year-old children's heads get cut off. They could not deny Jesus, and then the sword came to them. How did they do that? The Holy Spirit was possessing them because, listen, they were looking and searching for a city whose builder and maker is God, not of this world. And they're not super saints in Iraq and Syria right now. They're not super saints in East Timor right now. They're not super saints in Indonesia that are dying for their faith. They're just like you. But they've come to the moment when everything is stripped away in a millisecond of time. And listen, just when you think you've got the world all around us, and we could be at Disneyland today having a great time, and if somebody walks up with a dagger and says, you're a Christian, I hate you, and you're dying right now, guess what? Number one, God is not abandoning you, and number two, you're going to truly, after that moment, the happiest place in the universe. Okay, and you'll be reminded of that the moment you try to pay the price to get into Disneyland. You thank God Jesus paid your price to get into heaven. Persecution is arising. Yes, Jesus could come back today, but be ready, church. The Holy Spirit has promised. God says, Jesus says, listen, and by the way, that little verse in Matthew was a great testimony to the Trinity yet again. Jesus speaking, saying, the Father will send you His Spirit. And in that moment when you're called upon, listen, those of you, listen, we've experienced this when we're called upon in that moment. Many of you on the streets in evangelism, or many of you involved in the call, listen, when you are there, when you're there in that moment and you're terrified, let's be honest, we may look like we got it together, but we're shaken on the inside. And it's all of God and not of us. And then you open your mouth and verses are flying out of your face that you're so excited you're being taught. It's like, what in the world is going on here? And when it's all over, it's like, holy cow, who was that? You know who that was. That wasn't you. That was the Holy Spirit using you. He's faithful and He'll do it. Number eight, God the Holy Spirit builds the church. He's the church builder. Yeah, well, we're a bunch of church planters. No, you're not. The Holy Spirit's a church planter, and just because we say we're going to plant a church does not mean the Holy Spirit plants it. What's the fruit of the Holy Spirit planting a church? It will be fruitful, it will abide, and it will continue being fruitful. This last week, it's very tragic to see, I guess. I'm not sure yet. I'll leave God to be the judge, but some famous church in the Pacific Northwest this week, the whole thing collapsed. Ended. And for years, people will write as to how that happened. All I know is Jesus said, when I build my church, the gates of hell will not prevail. And listen, when it's built on the Word of God and not some personality or some sort of conduct, God will see to it bears fruit. Be very careful, church, that you're going to a church where the Word of God is exalted, the Lord Jesus Christ is honored, and the Holy Spirit's evidence is there, because people will be exercising their gifts in the building of the body. That's how the church is built. The Holy Spirit uses people. The gifts of the Spirit. Jesus is honored and the church is built. I mentioned that verse a moment ago. Jesus builds His church. He does that by the Holy Spirit, Matthew 16:18. And I say unto thee, Peter, thou art Peter, but upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. The gates of hell cannot prevail against the testimony of the Holy Spirit. Jesus' work at building the church is by the gifting of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 2:22 says, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit builds the church. 1 Corinthians 12:7 says, listen to this. I love this. But the manifestation, you know what that word means? You know what that means. The manifestation, the evidence, what can be documented, observed, seen, felt, recorded. Manifestation, the revelation, the there. Ness of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom, maybe you have that, through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge, through the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. to another the gifts of healings by the same Spirit. Do you see that, everybody? To another the working of miracles. To another prophecy, that is proclaiming the truth of God. To another discerning of spirits. To another different kinds of tongues. To another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same, notice, capital S, Holy Spirit works in all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. Translation, if the Bible is opened, listen, if the Bible is opened and present in a church gathering, Jesus already promised us in John 14 and 16, the Holy Spirit will arrive. He uses the Word of God. And when God's people are open to obeying God, He begins, listen, this is key. When God's people are open to obeying the will of God, seeking the Lord, the Holy Spirit will distribute gifts in a church based upon what He knows the church needs. This is why it's very important you be plugged into a local church. Don't be a little church bee. I'm serious. I'm not making fun. Look, I don't know you. I'm not saying, don't write me some mean letter. Just be really super convicted right now. You will never grow by hopping from church to church. You will never grow. Never grow. You say, well, the church I attend to, it's got some problems. Listen, if you're going to come here, we got problems. You got problems. I got problems. All God's children got problems. Do you understand the Holy Spirit is necessary and needed where we got problems? Well, nobody greeted me when I pulled in the parking lot. See? Here's the deal. Don't hop from flower to flower and think you're growing. You're not going to grow. You got to roll your sleeves up. You got to get in where the blood and guts are at. It's like a marriage. You roll your sleeves up and you get into a marriage. Oh, man, we were married 3 days. My wife threw up. That's called marriage. You get in there. You don't give up. You don't quit. The Holy Spirit will give you a gift if you're going to stay put in a church, and He wants to use you to make that church, and in the process, you and I, more like Jesus. Well, I'm going to go where it's easy. Well, you'll never grow then. You'll never grow. But if you're willing, the Holy Spirit will reveal to you your gift. If you're like this morning, I don't know, I'm just going to kind of sit over here. I understand that, but don't stay there too long because you're only hurting yourself. You need to keep your eyes on Jesus, not on anybody else. You need to ask Him, Lord, I'm at this church now. What gift of the Spirit do you want me to use here for the edification of the body of Christ and for my own personal growth as I serve you? Because, listen, He wants you to use the gift He gives you for others to be strengthened, but you're on the hot seat and I'm on the hot seat regarding one thing. Will I be faithful to exercise that calling? Again, it's all like a marriage. What does a marriage require of you? Faithfulness. What does Jesus require of you? Faithfulness. The Bible says when you're assembling ministers to minister to the body of Christ, that men ought to be found faithful.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called You Need to Know All About God, the Holy Spirit. It's actually a mini-series taken from Pastor Jack's collection of lessons on the essentials of our faith. It's called You Need to Know. We'll continue with more of You Need to Know All About God, the Holy Spirit, on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Hey, by the way, if you are a regular listener to Real Radio, why don't you send Pastor Jack a note and let him know? Real Radio listeners keep on sending us emails all the time with words of encouragement, like this one. Pastor Jack, I'd like to begin by thanking God for your ministry and thanking you for your commitment to teaching the Word of God. Your messages have really helped me grow as a believer, especially in the area of politics and faith. I've never voted in my life, and now I'm ready to do so. That comes from Alex. Appreciate that, Alex. Again, just drop a quick line to Pastor Jack if you appreciate Real Radio. Visit reallifewithjackhibbs.org and simply click Contact Us. Real Life with jackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.